Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Hard-headed, and thank nobody for arguing for that. Okay, Ezekiel chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. Today, I've got a sermon entitled Frustrating Grace, and it's not that grace is frustrating to us. It's that our lives sometimes frustrate the grace of God. I'm thankful that God is a gracious God. I'm thankful that God is a merciful God. In fact, if I think about the grace and the mercy of God, quite honestly, it's overwhelming because I don't deserve it. No one deserves it. None of us in the room deserves the amount of grace, the depth of the grace and the love and the mercy that God shows to us. And what's sad is sometimes in the obtuse nature of how we walk out our lives, we frustrate the grace that God gives us. I mean, think about this. The grace is getting what we don't deserve. And that God gives us so many tools. He gives us so much forgiveness. He has literally, through the blood of Jesus Christ, wiped our slate clean. And in response to the gift of God, we are offered the ability to walk in fellowship and communion with His Spirit, to be a light, to be salt to a world that desperately needs to understand the love of God. And yet sometimes the decisions that we make, the priorities that we choose, pull us so far away from the potential that God has for us. That's convicting to me. That's convicting to me. And so let's kind of look here in the Ezekiel chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, who have eyes to see, but see not, who have ears to hear, but hear not. For they are a rebellious house. So what do we know about Judah so far? Okay, someone tell me. What's one thing that you can tell we know from the first two verses here? Judah is rebellious. They're rebellious. So right away, we can identify with them, can't we? Uh-huh. Okay. The other thing that we know, I mean, think about this. He has just spent, we forget, the last couple of chapters, he spent over a year laying on his side, trying to tell them about what their sin has done. You know, about their rebellion from God, this iron skillet, this wall that has been erected between them and God, and how this separation has come because of their idolatry, their rebellion, and their sin. So we know this has happened, that he's already acted this out. They understand that there have been already two waves of exiles, but there were still Jews in Jerusalem. And they were still involved in rebellion and idolatry. We explored that last week. So think about this. In all that God has done, are we living at the level of a life that He's called us to? Now, this just some contextual things so you can understand historically what's going on here. During this time in Judah and Israel's history, there were many false prophets who arose and were declaring that God's judgment had come, but any moment they were going to be rescued from Babylon. But Jeremiah and Ezekiel, as we read, they condemned these false prophets. Now, it was a popular message. It was a popular message to hear that God was, you know, more worried that bad times had come, and so now good times were due them. How many of you came out of 2020 and you said, man, that year was lousy, and I'm looking forward because 2021 has to be better than 2020? And then you got into 2021, and that was a And we got done with that. And we're like, okay, well, you know what? 2022, we've had 2 years. Something is due us. And you got through 2022, and I know a lot of people are like, well, this wasn't much better. And we've already had some bad times. And so now good times are due us, right? Where did we come up with that? Where do we come up with that understanding? You see, what he's trying to get them to understand is, why are you looking at everything outside and you're not addressing the idolatry inside? Newsflash, it doesn't matter the things that happen peripherally. If we are where God has called us to be, he won't leave us or forsake us. And he's given us a promise about what is to come. And even in the midst of the storm, we can have peace. The story of Scripture is not about how to manipulate God to bless your life here and now. It's about how to glorify God now so that we understand that the world can see the love of Christ, that he has redeemed us, and he promises for us a glorious future with him. Let's go on, verse 3. As for you, son of man, prepare yourself an exile's baggage and go into exile by day in their sight. You shall go like an exile from your place to another place in their sight. Perhaps they will understand, though they're a rebellious house. You shall bring out your baggage by day in their sight as baggage for exile, and you shall go out yourself at evening in their sight as those do who must go into exile. And in their sight, dig through the wall and bring your baggage out through it. This is pretty interesting stuff. He's going to dig a hole in your wall, and I want you to push your bags out and sneak out through the wall. It says, in your sight, you shall lift the baggage upon your shoulder and carry it out at dusk. You shall cover your face that you may not see the land. For I have made you a sign for the house of Israel. Now, when I was a little kid, real little kid, sometimes, you know, my parents would argue and they'd get mad at me. I don't know why, because I was always perfect. I never did anything wrong. But this is what I did. I mean, it was Paddington Bear. I would go upstairs when they would yell at me. I would go upstairs and I'd get a knapsack. And I literally would put a knapsack on the stick. I literally had the thing, it's like a pillowcase, shoved full of whatever couple toys I wanted, and go raid the cupboard for some peanut butter and put it in a pillowcase and put it on, yes, a stick, and run away from home. I'm not living there anymore. And the neighbors would be like, yep, Tenacs are fighting again. There goes a little kid walking down the street, you know. This is a different time, a different age. I know nowadays, call the police and everything. But back then, it was pretty commonplace. We'd pass each other. Well, you get me. Oh, no, my family's so bad. It's just rough. We had it so rough. We also got told no. We also had a lot of other things. Well, he's literally being told by God to say, look, I want you to pack up and to go into exile and to literally show some things about what's going on. I want you to do it at daytime and then do it at dusk. What happens at dusk? The sun goes down, right? And night falls. It's the change of a season. He's basically telling them, look, I want you to say that you're going to go into exile in daytime and you're going to do this at night. There's something that's happening here. Why dig through a wall? That's how desperate people are going to be to get out of Jerusalem. And by the way, this all came to pass. All of this came to pass in a very short amount of time. People were literally fleeing Jerusalem. They were going through cracks in the walls. They were leaving through windows. They were heading out as much as they were grabbing what they could to flee. Going on to verse 8 through 11. In the morning, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, has not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, said to you, what are you doing? Say to them, thus saith the Lord God, this oracle concerns the prince in Jerusalem and all the house of Israel who are in it. Say, I am a sign for you. As I have done, so shall it be done to them. They shall go into exile, into captivity. Now, so here's my point that I want to get to. First of all, their response should have been a little less obtuse, correct? He had been laying out and telling them God's heart for a long season, okay? Correct? We've had sermon after sermon after sermon going through the things that Ezekiel acted out before them. Remember all these different street theater things that he did? You know, cooking on dung, all of these things to tell them. And then he explained what was going on, their rebellious heart, the things that were going on inside of them. This was not a new message. In fact, it wasn't just Ezekiel's message. Years and years before they went into captivity, God sent prophets to bring warnings. And it all came to pass. And now he's sending more. And perhaps, gang, the problem is this. So many things become like white noise. You know what white noise is? You know, if we all just take a second here, let's just all be quiet for just a second. You're hearing things, right? You're hearing the projector fan. You're hearing the other fan when the furnace kicks in. You weren't hearing that before. It wasn't that it wasn't in the room. It's that we weren't attentive to it. It's been there since the moment you walked in. There are messages from God that have been before us constantly, and it goes to the background of our mind. It leaves its place of prominence in our heart. We say things like this, which I believe is what's reflected in this statement. They're asking, Ezekiel, what are you doing? His message hasn't changed. It's for them. And they're assuming that Ezekiel's talking to somebody else. Do you know people who think that God is always talking to other people but never addressing their own stuff? I know people who say this, you know, he tried to teach us, oh, I've already heard this before. I know this stuff. Oh, I know this portion of Scripture. This is obviously for you, not me. Judah is assuming that they have already been judged and that there's no more reason. They've already been caught. And they're soon to be out of the penalty box by the word of these false prophets. The problem is that their heart has not changed. The heart issue that led them into captivity has not abated. It is just as critical. Idolatry is still rampant. Rebellion is still in their hearts. And God has to redirect them. Hey guys, this is for you. Here's my first point today. Because I want to talk to us today from our text of what Ezekiel was sharing to these individuals in captivity. My first point about frustrating grace is we can frustrate the grace of God when we assume that God is only addressing others. And there are many of us in the church, and we come to church faithfully, but we never come to church expecting God to talk to us. We come to church so that we can, you know, take part in worship, we can be part of community, but do we gather in the presence of God, assuming that God might in fact have something to tell us? Or is that the furthest from our mind? We don't come in thinking, I got a strain to hear that fan. I got a strain to hear that message because my heart has become callous to it. I've turned my radio on to so many other stations, I can't hear God anymore. We assume everything's going good, everything's fine. God's not talking to me. This happens so often. You know, if I had a quarter for every time someone has come up to me at the end of a service and said, you know what, I just wish my husband was here to hear this. Or, oh, you know what, I wish my wife was here. You know what, I have a sister, she just really needs to hear your message. And I get it, and I understand, and I've had that same thought sometimes when you know someone close to you is going through something and you hear a message, you're like, wow, that would be really good for them. Here's the problem. You don't think God's talking to you? Really? No one in this room has any more room to grow. Is that what we're saying? We always assume that God's addressing something in somebody else. And I get it. I've certainly been guilty of this. In my small groups, I have two small groups on Tuesday that meet one right after the other. And sometimes we're able to kind of have the same lesson in the two groups. And several weeks ago, I went in and I had early in the morning, I started having a couple of things that demanded my attention, a couple conversations that were going on just prior to walking in. And so we had this lesson and I got ready, and I got to be honest, I was distracted. I was thinking about these other things. And as the message began to play out, I assumed, you know what? I know this topic. I understand this topic. I've preached messages on this topic. I get it. Okay, so I'm checked out because I already know it. Everybody else, they need it. I don't. And so I went through the time kind of half listening and then kind of getting wet and then trying to engage. And afterwards, I began to think, well, that message was okay. It wasn't that. It was okay. It's stuff that I already knew. Come on, somebody. I already know this. Mm-hmm. I got everything resolved, and then I went back to the second session and then paid a little more attention. And I remember getting done being like, that was absolutely 100% for me. I want you to know something. The message was the same message. The position and posture of the hearer had changed. And I would like to submit to us today that many of us spend a whole lot of time maybe getting our appearance ready. We get ready to go to church on the outside, and we spend very little time preparing our hearts to receive the word. This whole reason we have times of worship prior to times of preaching is because I get it. Life is hard. Kids get crazy on Sunday mornings. Spouses, life is hard on Sunday mornings, especially if you have a family. And then we come in. Are we prepared to hear God's word? And that's what part of this time is, to get our attention focused upon God so that we eliminate the distractions and we can hear that voice that we're just not attentive to very often. I assumed so much. I tell you what, when I got done, I realized that the problem in the lesson was not the lesson, it was in the hearer. And so a couple thoughts, a couple questions here. Are we in a posture to hear? In our life, have we cultivated a posture to hear? Do we have an attitude to listen? I mean, seriously, when we come into a conversation, I know that there are times that I have to have a conversation with somebody and they give me attitude. Anybody, you ever had somebody give you attitude? If you've ever had a teenager in your house, you can write books, get attitudes. I was joked with a couple of my kids about it. I was always ready for the, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I get it. Do we have a willingness to learn? Seriously, do we have a willingness to learn? Because there are folks that have been part of the church for a long time and are still babes in Christ. We're good church members, but how are we as far as being effective disciples? Hey, does our pride hinder our discipleship? Let's kind of lean into this a little bit more. Ezekiel chapter 12, verses 17 through 25. And the word of the Lord came to me, son of man. So he's going to give them a little more understanding here, okay? He says, son of man, eat your bread with quaking and drink your water with trembling, with anxiety. And the people of the land, and say to the people of the land, thus saith the Lord God concerning the inhabitants of Jerusalem in the land of Israel. They shall eat their bread with anxiety and drink their water with dismay. In this way, her land will be stripped of all it contains on account of the violence of all those who dwell in it. And the inhabited cities shall be laid waste, and the land shall become a desolation. And you shall know that I am the Lord. False prophets had promised that they were going to be delivered, that things were going to get better. It was a popular message that there was no longer going to be consequence for ongoing idolatry. They assumed that the prophecies of Isaiah and Micah that had not yet come to pass were going to be like Ezekiel's. They just didn't matter anymore because hard times had come and now smooth sailing was due to them. But they hadn't changed their heart and they were still rebellious and idolatrous. And so a proverbial saying sprung up, which we're going to hear in verse 21. And the word of the Lord came to me, "Son of man, what is this proverb that you have about the land of Israel, saying, 'The days grow long and every vision comes to nothing'? Tell them, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will put an end to this proverb, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say to them, 'The days are near and the fulfillment of every vision. For there shall be no more any false vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord. I will speak the word that I will speak, and it will be performed. I will no longer be delayed, but in your days, O rebellious house, I will speak the word and perform it, declares the Lord God." They assumed all of this stuff, that life, everything was going to be okay now, and all this doom and gloom about God's wrath hadn't come to pass to this point, so it was never going to happen. Ezekiel now is acting some more street theater. He's telling them, look, God is serious about sin, even when the culture makes claims to the contrary. And this is for us here today. I don't care how popular a message is. If it is a sinful message, it is sin. And the fact that the majority of our people in our nation or in the world may think something that goes against God's word, that does not make it true. I will remind you that the Nazi movement was a populist movement. Groups of people can be wrong. I was mortified this week to see that, I'm sure you, those of you who heard the news of a child who was being beaten and made fun of, and all the kids around, instead of actually stopping this, took out their phones and videoed it and posted, and the poor child ended up taking her own life. People are stupid. And groups of people can be led astray by their vanity and pride. Second point. We frustrate grace when we assume we no longer need to change. Do you know folks who can tell you everything that's wrong with somebody else and they are totally oblivious to their own issues? Every one of us knows somebody like that. We cannot be that person. We will be spiritually frustrated. We will frustrate God's grace when we no longer realize that we need to change. Philippians 3:12, the Apostle Paul says, "Not that I have already obtained this, nor am perfect already, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his." In Ezekiel's time, they refused to deal with the real issue, their hardened heart. It was what was driving them into exile, their idolatry, and they were spiritually blind to it. And church family, if you don't realize that you need to change, if you think that there's no areas left that you need to change, you are spiritually blind. We are not a perfect people. We are a people being perfected. Amen? Look at what Christ says about this in Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 39. He told them also a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they both not fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Who's our teacher? Hello? Are you like him? Then what needs to change? I'm telling you what our society is saying. Christ needs to change. Instead, we need to change to be like Christ. Verse 41, he goes on, "Why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye and do not notice the log that's in your own eye?" How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take out the speck that's in your eye," when you yourself don't see the log that's in your own eye? You hypocrite! First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Look at what he's saying here. Look, if you're oblivious to your own stuff, okay, if you think that you're perfect and everyone else is wrong but you're right, guess what? You're spiritually blind and you can't lead. How interesting is this in our context today? How interesting. And before someone accuses me of removing this from context, let's back up to verse 37. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will it be into your lap. For with the measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Let me tell you something, gang. Let me tell you something. I understand the conventional way of reading this is this. Don't be judgmental to others. That's the conventional way to read this. I would like to challenge, I'm not saying that that is wrong, because certainly we shouldn't be hypercritical of others. And because if we are, then yeah, we could read that God will not be hypercritical of us. But I want to challenge you to read this a little differently. How about this? If it says, judge not, and you will not be judged. Remember 1 Peter 4:17 says that for now, the time for judgment is to begin in the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel? Here's another way that we should understand it. Judge not. If you don't judge yourself, you're going to go unjudged. And that ain't a good thing. If you don't condemn things in your life that you need to condemn, you're going to be in trouble. You won't grow. If you refuse to allow the Word of God to offend you, what are you doing? When I go into this, it challenges me. This is a mirror, and it shows me some areas that need to conform. Amen? And if I don't start judging myself, and if I tolerate things that God has condemned, what's going on? I become spiritually blind. Now, do you see how this goes? I'm no longer in a place to lead. If you're no longer growing, you should not be leading. Oh, now it goes a little farther. Look at verse 43. Because now this makes sense. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. But each tree is known by its fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor grapes picked from bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. The evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of, I love how he sticks us at the end. For out of the abundance of his heart, the mouth speaks. My sister moved to Arizona years ago. Now they live in California. But when they moved to Arizona, I bought them something called a fruit cocktail tree. And it was a very interesting tree, kind of like a bush actually, but it had lemons on it. And there's actually a picture of it, Matt. It had on this tree were lemons and limes and kumquats. They had grafted these things together. And as you look at it, you say, oh, that's a it's a lemon. Yeah, there's lemons on it. But it's not a lemon tree. Why do I know it's not a lemon tree? Because there wasn't just lemons on it. There were limes. Well, now it's a lime tree. It's not a lime tree. There are limes, but there's also something else. And don't even get me started on the kumquats. Some of us have some great tree or some great fruit on your tree. Some of you have lemons on your tree. But you also have some other things on your tree. And people around are scratching their heads saying, which one are you? Which one are you? You know what? If you're a good tree, you're going to have good fruit. Honestly, gang, do we have any spiritual cocktail trees in our midst today? Look, I hope that the lack of a response is a level of uncomfortableness that leads to self-contemplation. Gang, we have to get brutally honest. Brutally honest. Let's say going on and get to our third point here and we wrap up the message. Verse 26, and the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, behold, they, the house of Israel, say, the vision that he sees is for many days from now. And he prophesies of times far off. Therefore say to them, thus saith the Lord God, none of my words will be delayed any longer, but the word that I speak will be performed, declares the Lord. So many warnings that they came were ignored. To those in Jerusalem, the final days of judgment were coming to this last group that would soon be exiled. And it did come to pass. And there was a time of grace. Have you ever thought that maybe the issues that you tolerate, that God has condemned, that he's giving you grace? Look, if you've got a sin in your life, and you're tolerating that sin that God has condemned, maybe you're in a season of grace where God's trying to mercifully say, wake up. I pray that we would really let this go in, because I'm going to tell you, it's not cute when grown-ups act like children. It's not, you want to see the reason for our cultural demise? Grown-ups are acting like kids. Grown-ups are acting just foolish. And through the pandemic and through the abuse and the decay of our ability to relate with one another because of social media, grown-ups act like children now. And the same is in the church. There are people who should be mature in their faith who are still babes. It's not good when the church is full of selfishness and pride and hypocrisy rather than love, humility, and service. How does this happen when we refuse to grow, when we refuse to believe that God is in fact speaking to us? And my third and final point, we frustrate grace when we assume that we will not be held accountable. Not a popular message in the church today. Hebrews chapter 5, 11 and 12 says about this, we have much to say and it's hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. For though at this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again of the basic principles of the oracles of God. How did that happen? We'll go back to the first one. God's not talking to me. I've already got it. I learned John 3:16. I don't know what John 3:17 is, or I don't know what John 3:15 is, but I'm good on 3:16. Romans chapter 14, 12, the Apostle Paul, and Charlotte, you can come up. So that each of us will give an account of himself to God. Now, church family, look, I know you're like, wow, you're in a bad move, preacher. Bad mood, preacher. What is wrong with you? You did not have your fiber today? What is going on with you? Because this is the message that Ezekiel shared. And this is the message I believe with all my heart the church needs to hear. That some of us need to wake up. We need to wake up and quit playing church and start becoming the church and realize we need to grow and realize that there is judgment. I'm not saying that because of our behavior that somehow we earn, if we act good enough that we come to salvation. You know, anyone who's listened to the message in the gospel that's preached, that's not the message. The message is that we are saved because we put our faith in Jesus Christ as the atoning sacrifice, that he is now our Savior and our Lord. And I believe a lot of people know him as Savior, but I'm not convinced that everyone here who knows him as Savior is relating to him as Lord. Because when we relate to him as Lord, we do what he wants, not try to make him do what we want. And to those people, God is waiting. And we frustrate grace when we assume we won't be held accountable. Church family, let us all develop a posture to hear God's word and to grow, to know he's speaking to us, and that we are not perfect. Don't even think that it's not that we can attain this, but we should be striving. And if you can look at your life and say, you know what, I'm not striving, may I please challenge you to start striving, to go after, to press on towards Christ, to embrace the continued pathway of change, to become what God has purposed us to be. Knowing that we will give account to God and he does give us grace. But let's not frustrate that grace. Let's be changed by it. Amen. Stand to your feet.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.